Bible this morning. Stand with me from the book of 1 Samuel. I've never preached this, so I don't know how it'll turn out. It blessed me, so I guess if it blessed me, it might bless somebody. Seems like almost every song that has been sung this morning has kind of fit into this message that I want to preach. And I want to preach on this thought. It's important who you identify with. Very important who you identify with. And I'm going to use a text here in 1 Samuel chapter 22 and verse number 1 and 2. It said that David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave in Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him. That's unto David now. And he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. Father, would you bless the reading of your word, and Lord, help us to bring a thought that's been on our heart, and Lord, unless you preach it, it'll all be in vain. And there's someone here, Lord, today may need this. And I'd ask, Lord, that you do what we can't do. You take it to the heart of someone that's in this situation. Bless us, we pray now today, and we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll let you be seated there. Now I won't be able to preach up here, so I'll get down there among you here in a little while. All right? This is a story of David coming to the throne of Israel as their king. And it wasn't an easy journey getting there. He had to overcome a lot. But there was that day in his life when the prophet Samuel came and looked for a little boy among Jesse's sons. And they brought out the best ones. Isn't that the way the world always does? Well, let's bring out the oldest one. And Samuel looked at him and said, no, that's not the one. And brought out the second one, and no, that's not the one. And brought out the third one, and that's not the one. And he said, have you here yet any sons? And he said, well, I've got one more. He's my youngest one. He's out yonder taking care of my sheep. And he said, go fetch him. And they went and fetched him and brought him out there. And immediately when Samuel saw him, God whispered in his ear, that's the one. And he got out a bottle of oil and poured it on top of his head and anointed him. And I believe from that day forward, in God's estimation and God's thoughts, this was the king of Israel. And yet it didn't appear for a while that was going to come to pass, because there was another king on the throne. Y'all remember when that other king was on the throne in your heart? I remember when he was on there. And there was another king in waiting, waiting to take over. Yet here David, even though he was anointed, he was hated by this other king that was upon the throne. And so he had to run for his life. And many, many things that happened that I won't go into, but as he ran for his life, there began to gather unto him a group of people that said, hey, David, we want to go with you. And here he listed some of them. Some of them that were in debt. In other words, they had gotten in deeper than they were able to pay. They kind of bankrupted themselves. They owed so much that they could not pay it. And so this group owed something. And then it said there was a group that was discontented. Now, these were the kind of people that wasn't satisfied with their lot in life. They were maybe with the world, they were maybe kind of considered outcast. I sometimes feel like I'm kind of on the outside. Amen. I kind of feel like that I'm a stranger here sometimes in this whole world. And they showed up over there with David also. And then there was a group that he said that they were distressed. In other words, they were that group that were overwhelmed with maybe burdens and cares and problems of life. And they all showed up over here to David. And I could kind of imagine when they showed up over there somebody may say, son, why are you over here? And he'd say, well, I'll tell you what, David, I'm so far in debt, I'll never get out. Unless somebody else helps me, I'll never get out of what I'm in. Well, why are you here? Well, I'll tell you what, I've just become so discontented with things in this world, and nothing down here satisfies me. I thought I'd just come over here and see what you got to offer. There's that group that they just got so many burdens in life. They are distressed. That's where the word stress comes from. Distressed. A lot of people under stress today. And they come over there and well, why are you here? Well, I just can't fit in out yonder. There's so many problems and burdens and cares that I'm not able to handle myself. Would you mind if I identify myself with you? Y'all still with me here now, alright? Alright, now, let me say, they came to David when he was not on the throne. They identified with him when he was not on the throne. Now I'm taking my time here because I don't want to miss something. I get in a hurry here, I'll miss something. They identified with David when he was in humiliation. It's a humiliating thing to be crowned king and not have the throne. Amen. That'd be humiliating. They identified with him when he was in hiding. He was in hiding. Amen. He just here and yonder. Amen. Just here and yonder. He's in one cave and another one. He's out yonder in the wilderness. Every now and then he goes down to the Philistines. Because he was not in his proper position at this time. They identified with David not only when he was in humiliation and in hiding, but they identified with him while he was hated. People out to destroy him. You know, I've been called worse names since I got saved than I did before I got saved. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Would you believe some people think I'm a fanatic? Isn't that amazing? I even had somebody tell me I was narrow-minded. I had somebody here the other day, heard me on radio and called me, and he said, "You ain't nothing but a right-winger." I said, "Well, it sounds good. Sounds good. I guess I am." David was hated at this time by a large portion of Saul's family and the Benjaminites and all of that. And here comes this group of people, and they identify with David while he's hiding and while he's hated and while he's in humiliation. And they're identifying with him when he's hunted like a partridge out there in the field. And they said, "David, we want to follow you." And I believe later on, now this is my personal opinion, I believe out of this group, later on come some of those mighty men. Mighty men that he mentions. Now I want y'all to get all this before I make application. I'm going to make application here in a few minutes. All right? In his humiliation. But one day, the tables turn. Amen. One day, David is crowned. He takes his rightful place upon the throne. One day, the one that's hiding in humiliation and is the off-scouring and the outcast and all these people, one day they see David take the rightful place of the throne of David, and he is crowned. And now the tables have turned and he's in charge. I remember the day when I rejoiced that I was the preacher eating the chicken at dinner instead of the visiting pastor. Amen. We used to have preachers over at our house all the time. Mom and Dad wouldn't let us eat till the preachers got fed. My goodness, that biscuit and gravy and fried chicken get gone. And we're out there griping about that bunch of preachers sitting in there eating every scrap. Y'all know what I'm talking about there. And I thought, won't that bunch ever shut up? Won't they ever pull away from the table, hear us boys out there? And we get in there and get the gizzards and the livers and things like that. And they're eating the chicken breast and the fried chicken legs and all those good parts. And the gravy's gone, the biscuit are eat up. And we're left with the scraps. I'm glad when I got on the other side. Amen. One day, David was on the other side. He's no longer running. He's no longer hiding. He's no longer in humiliation. He's no longer being hunted by Saul. He has taken his place upon the throne. And he's sitting down there crowned. He's in charge of everything now. He's conducting business now. And he's going to need somebody to help him. He needs somebody to help him. And you say, well, who are you going to turn to, David? Well, I'm going to turn to that one right there that identified with me when he had nothing. I'm going to identify with that one that came over on my side when I was hated. I'm going to identify with that bunch that was discontented and had some burdens they couldn't take care of. But now I'm on the throne now and I'm conducting business. Y'all still with me now? I'm going somewhere here with, if you'll just stay with me here just a few minutes. I'm going somewhere. And David looked over here out of this bunch. They had swelled to 600. That crowd grew. Y'all grown here, hadn't you? Hey, I bet somewhere here in this community and around in this area, I'd say that some of y'all been called names for coming over here. He got up here and told you the name of our church was Saline Baptist. And we fought liquor real hard. Real hard. Voted it down. And I said, any of you members' name on that list, you're going to be dismissed. And I got up and made this statement. I got carried away one morning on that thing. I got carried away. And I said, now, I tell you, you church members, Saline Baptist Church, that's the name of our church. I said, you church members can go out here and tell all over this community that Saline Baptist Church is going to stand against liquor. I never did get them back that morning. But you know, we developed a name that we were against sin. We were against the devil. We're against the booze crowd. We're against the abortion crowd. We're against the sodomite crowd. Now, we believe all of those can be saved. I've got old drunkards in my church that got saved out of the stupor of sin. I've got people in my church that were nothing but drug addicts that got saved out of the stupor of sin. And you might come to our church, I'm sure it's the same way here, and somebody say, "Hey, did you see so-and-so over there at Liberty Baptist Church? Didn't they used to be a drunkard?" Yes, but they identified themselves with a king. Identified with him. And here's this group that identified with David when he was not on the throne and when he had no crown and when he was not in charge and when he was not conducting business. They identified with him. Now, let me come to the greater than David. David is just a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, greater than David has come along. Greater than Solomon. Amen. Praise God. Greater than Jonah. Greater than the Queen of Sheba. The King of Kings has come along. And when he came, he was not received. John 1 said he came unto his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus our Lord, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He was hated and hunted. And so one day, 1957, I had a debt so big I couldn't pay it. And I came over to him and said, "Lord, would you take somebody that has nothing? Would you pay my debt for me? Could you cancel out all that's against me?" Anybody remember that day? And he said to me, "How about this? How about me just paying it all?" It's all right with me. I'm not going to argue. Amen. And I brought all of my debts bankrupt spiritually. I was dead in trespasses and sin. You were dead. Your wages were piling up. You were going to collect on them. And I tell you what you're going to collect. You're going to collect death. Eternal separation from God. No hope in this world, neither in the world to come. Destitute. Nothing to offer God. I like that verse that he read this morning, that you know, that they trusted themselves that they were righteous. Paul later on spoke of that group and he said, "For I bear them record," talking of Israel, he said, "for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." So here comes the greater than David, and he is able to take all of you that are in debt and can't pay for it. But you got to identify with him. You can't be ashamed of him now. And you, some of y'all that are discontented in this world, oh my goodness, I don't feel at home down here anymore. See, now I've got more behind me than some of y'all have. And I tell you, to me this morning, heaven's a sounding sweeter every day. I had that old woman in my church. I said, ma'am, why do you shout all the time when we sing about heaven? And she said, well, Brother Broughton, when you get more up yonder than you got here, you'll start shouting too. And I found out that I'm a shouting and a weeping more. Amen. Got more over yonder. You get a mother and dad over there. You get a grandma and a grandpa. You get one of your brothers over there. You get one of your little nephews over there. You get one of your little nieces over there. You get your loved ones over there. All of a sudden, there's more piling up over there than you got left down here, and you'll become homesick for heaven. And then there's that group that's just kind of distressed. And I've identified with the Lord Jesus. I got in such a bad shape before I got saved, I thought I was going to hell the next night. And it's good to get that scared. That this junk, no fear, you better drop that. I see these young folks running around with a sign on their truck, no fear. I tell you, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In the fear of the Lord, there's understanding. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life. The fear of the Lord is beginning of knowledge. Not only wisdom, but knowledge. And I want to tell you, in 1957, at that old-fashioned altar, I identified with the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. I identified with Him when He was not crowned. You better identify with His cross. Better not be ashamed of the cross. The only reason you're going to heaven, I'm going to heaven, is because of the cross. That's the reason Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Jesus, by whom I'm crucified on this world, the world unto me. And here's what you must do. You must take up that cross when nobody else is willing to do it. You better identify with it. Don't get ashamed of that. And I tell you something else you have to identify with. Everybody listen to this. I'm a church man. I've identified myself with His church. I'm a church man through and through. Amen. I like its pews. I like its pianos. I like its pillars. Hallelujah. Amen. I like the choir. I like the preaching. Don't you? I like being with God's people. Night I got saved, I didn't know nothing about baptism. I just knew that anybody that got saved ought to get baptized. And so I told them that after I stood up, I said, I need to get baptized, don't I? And I got baptized before the week was out. I wanted to identify with the people of God. And I believe God blesses the church. And He said unto him, be glory in the church now and forever. World without end. Let me say something else. I've not only identified with His cross and His church, but I've identified with His commandments. Good old King James Bible. 400 years old. Amen. Withstood the test of time. I've identified with it. Brother, and this man right here has too. I know him. I know his heart. He didn't deny it when others were. He didn't want to change it when others were. He didn't think there was a better one when others did. This is the only Bible I've ever known. Everybody understand what I'm talking about? That's the only one I've ever known. My mother didn't have an eighth grade education. I remember somebody came on the radio one time. She said, "He's not preaching the Bible." And I said, "What do you mean, Mom?" And she said, "That's not in the Bible." I said, "Look that verse up." Told me where it was. And I looked it up, and he read a different Bible than what she had. I've identified with the Word of God. Now let me just say this. I have identified with a greater than David while he is in humiliation, while the world looks upon him as hated. Hated without a cause. He said they'll hate you. If they hated me, they'll hate you. I have identified with him. But one day the tables will turn. Amen. Praise God. Soon, and very soon, he's going to be crowned. He's going to have. Now they put a title up over him in mockery, King of the Jews. This is Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. But one day that title will be reality. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews, the Son of David. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. He's the Son of David. He's the rightful heir to the throne of David. And he's going to be crowned. And when it does, he's going to be in charge. He's going to be conducting business. We that have identified with him here will enter into his rest. Isn't that a blessing? Rest. Boy, that sounds good. We will receive our rewards. It's you. It's you that's going to get them. It's that 400 that identified with David that were with him when he was crowned, when he sat on the throne. We will receive his rewards. We will rule with him. Hey, come on in here. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll tell you, I'll make you ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of thou Lord. The Lord, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And here's the best part about it. We'll be able to rejoice with him forever and ever because we identified with him. Now, some of you here this morning are ashamed to identify with him. You're afraid of what it'll cost. Let me just tell you this morning, it'll cost you everything unless you do. It'll cost you everything. I didn't know I got up rich. I didn't know I was poor. I didn't know I got up rich. But I'm glad back yonder one day I identified with him. We sang an old song years ago back home, "I Don't Regret a Mile I've traveled with the Lord. I don't regret a mile I trusted in his word. Oh yeah, there's been many heartaches and troubles and things, but I don't regret a mile. I've identified with him. There's no turning back." I wonder how many of y'all would identify with him this morning. Lord, I got such a sin debt I can't pay it. Would you pay it for me? Lord, I just can't ever get satisfied. I got a boy that years ago tried everything in the world except the Lord, and he never was satisfied at a job. He never was satisfied with an opportunity. Never satisfied. And I said, "Son, your problem is you need to find something to satisfy your soul. If you get your soul satisfied, these other things that you'd be satisfied with them." And he got saved one day, has never been the same. Let me just tell you something. You need to identify with the Lord Jesus this morning. Some of you young people, you need to get down here and identify with him and say, "Lord, whatever this is that's going to cost, whatever it takes, I'm going to take my lot with you. Because one day he'll be crowned. One day he'll be in charge. One day he'll be conducting business. And I want to be... I had a girl one time sung at our songs, "They can't crown Jesus till I get home." Amen. One day I'm going to be there when they crown him. Are you going to be there? Amen. Now maybe somebody here this morning, God's been dealing with you. Maybe you need to get saved. Maybe get baptized. Maybe you just need to get into church. Identify with him this morning. Maybe you need to identify with this church here. Maybe I need to identify with this pastor here. Maybe you need to identify with this group here this morning. Don't be ashamed to cast your lot. I have never been in this church before. But I knew as soon as I walked in here, the Lord was here. And I'll tell you what I told my son-in-law, and I'll quit. I walked in here, and I've walked into churches like this, and it's as quiet as a funeral home. You people were talking and laughing and shaking hands and hugging each other. And I said, "Boy, isn't this wonderful? I don't like to get in a quiet church." Amen. Praise God. I said, "Lord's in this place. I can tell the way these people are acting. They're acting different one of these dead places. You go into one of these dead places and they say something like this. Now, come on. Y'all sing. All right. Whoa. Some of y'all not singing. Come on, help us." Well, you didn't have to do that this morning. Y'all just got to singing and enjoying it. And I said, "Lord's in this place. And if I was around here, that's where I'd be coming to church." Praise God. Because I want to go where the Lord is honored. I want to identify with Him. Amen. Let's stand up here this morning. Brother Bowman, I'm going to let you come give the invitation like the Lord wants you. Praise God. Some of y'all, maybe God's speaking to you this morning. Listen to Him.